Passage we read from earlier on in Joshua chapter 2. Now we have a tendency to look at Bible times in a very different light to the times that we live in today. We almost have this perception that anybody that was used of God was almost perfect, was someone who was living a much holier life than we possibly could. But someone put this together, and I thought it was interesting as an introduction for what I want to say this morning. Consider some of the people God used. Noah got drunk. Abraham was too old. Isaac was a daydreamer. Jacob was a liar. Joseph was abused. Moses had a stammer. Gideon was afraid. Rahab was a prostitute. Jeremiah and Timothy were too young. David had an affair and was a murderer. Jonah ran away from God. Naomi was a widow. Peter denied Christ. The disciples fell asleep while praying. Martha worried about everything. Zacchaeus was too small and Lazarus was dead. Yet the Lord worked in or through all of these people. Sometimes we look at ourselves and say that there is no way that the Lord could use us. Look at all of the faults and failures that are present in our lives. How could God ever take us and make anything of us? And yet the reality is that so many of the wonderful characters that we know from the Word of God have been taken and used despite their faults and failures, because even those faults and failures point to a God who is able to do all things. This morning we're going to look at this lady Rahab as we find the story set out for us in Joshua chapter 2. And there's three things about this lady that stand out for me. And the first one is this: she was a shady lady. I couldn't think of a better terminology for what I want to say in my first point. You'll get the picture, I'm sure. But this chapter is a remarkable one in the Bible. It has maybe lost some of its original impact because we have become accustomed to this particular story. But we must remember that things back then were very different to what they are today. In fact, in baseball terms, if you had a strikeout, well, then you were no use to God. You were beyond the pale, as it were. And I want to consider the fact that in many ways, Rahab would have been seen as a strikeout. Strike one: Rahab was a Canaanite woman. The spies who came into Jericho, well, they were Jews, but Rahab was a Canaanite. She was part of the nations that the Jews had to go in and destroy. So you would have thought that because she was a Canaanite, she didn't deserve even being considered. Strike one: she was a Canaanite. Strike two: she was a woman. Now, I don't want to offend any of you lovely ladies here this morning, but I do want to say to you that things back then were very different to how they are today. In fact, the way women tended to be viewed back then would have been very similar to the way Islamic nations still view them today. They were to be seen and not heard. And even whenever you saw them, very little was to be seen of them. In fact, in case I get in trouble here for using Boris Johnson terminology, about the same shape as a rectangle. See, I didn't say the word. And back then, women were not viewed particularly highly. They tended not to be used or respected very much. We are very thankful that things have changed from that today. Strike one: she was a Canaanite. Strike two: she was a woman. And strike three, and perhaps this is the most serious: she was a prostitute. She sold herself for money. What a passage this is, because it shows how God rewards faith from or with salvation, even in the guiltiest of sinners. even in those that everybody else may say are beyond the pale, and yet God can do a work within their lives. And so I say to you this morning that no matter what you have done in your past, no matter what you have become, no matter how anybody else may view you, that God's interested in you. God cares about you. And God sent his Son to die for the sins of those who will trust in him. What a remarkable transformation we see taking place here. This woman went from being a call girl to being a convert by just believing. She went from zero to hero in a matter of minutes. Rahab's rehab was truly amazing. She wasn't merely reformed in that she was changed in some way. She wasn't even conformed to become just like the other people of Jericho around her, but she was transformed. Transformed by God's work within her heart. Isn't it remarkable that God used a woman who had all of this against her? But she had one redeeming factor, faith. Faith that was given to her by God. Faith that didn't come to her by nature. Faith that she didn't create within herself, but God placed it within her life. Although she had heard much about the Israelites, it took faith to believe that the God that she had heard about in all of these stories was the true God. And maybe at the minute, God is working faith in the life of somebody who is here this morning. Maybe you've heard the gospel for many years, or maybe it was many years ago that you heard the gospel. But for many years, you've maybe thought about God and realized that you needed to do something about this. But this morning, faith is being born within your life, and you realize that you actually need Jesus to be your Savior. Was it by chance that the spies came into her house on this day? No. Was it a fluke that she was found believing in God? No. You see, God was in control of everything. We have a tendency to saunter through life and not thinking particularly deeply about anything that's going on. But it's a great comfort to know that God is in control. And I wonder if we were to stop and actually consider our lives, how many times has God steered our lives in a particular direction? We maybe wouldn't have taken it in that route. We maybe wouldn't have wanted the events that happened to happen, but yet God has allowed these things to happen so that he may birth faith in our lives. Rahab may have been a shady lady in the past, but she had a rosy future ahead. What a wonderful image this is. It's amazing whenever we look in Matthew chapter 1, we read about Rahab and the genealogy of Jesus Christ. And we see that even though she started life out in a way that we wouldn't want any of our daughters to live, yet God was able to do a work in her life. So much so that she became included in that wonderful hall of faith that we read about in Hebrews chapter 11. Matthew 1 verses 5 and 6 says, "And Salmon, the father of Boaz by Rahab, and Boaz, the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed, the father of Jesse, and Jesse, the father of David." And what this means is that Rahab became the great-great-grandmother of David. And as we know, that lineage follows right on down through to Jesus Christ. Rahab, this prostitute, Canaanite woman, actually became one of the descendants of Jesus. The inclusion of women is very rare in Old Testament genealogies. In fact, there's only four that are specifically named in them. Another one that's kind of referred to, but not named as such. The four women are Tamar, who was accused of harlotry, Rahab, a Canaanite prostitute, Ruth, a pagan Moabite, and Mary, the mother of Jesus, who became pregnant outside of marriage. And Bathsheba is the one who is referred to but not named, and of course she committed adultery. And what it suggests for us is this, that there is nobody who is beyond the pale. And I wonder, as a Christian, maybe in your workplace you see somebody and you hear their language and you see the lifestyle choices that they have made, and in your mind you are forming this conclusion that there is no way that God could ever work in their lives. That there is no way God would ever be interested in them. And so you may witness to others that you see to be respectable, but you don't witness to them. And you may be worried about what they might say about you or the result of witnessing to them. But the reality is that there is nobody beyond the pale as far as God is concerned. Rahab may have been a shady lady at one time, but as I said earlier, she is one of only two women included in the Hall of Faith in Hebrews. So she was a shady lady. But she was also a strong lady. Boys, was she a strong lady. You know, I had a lot of respect for my gran, Neely. Now, believe me, my gran, Neely was the type that if you told her something was black, she would argue with you that it was white. If it was a nice sunny day outside, well, you could be sure that it was a bad thing because it was going to kill all the plants. Or if it was raining outside, it was the most awful thing as well. That was the way she was. She was a glass half empty type of a person in some respects. But you know, I had a great amount of respect for her because she lived through the toughest of times. She brought her younger brother to come and live with them at home whenever her father died, and the mother had died quite some time before that. She saw their house destroyed in the war by a bomb, and they had to start again from scratch. She was a strong and determined woman. Even though she gave my granda a hard time, particularly when he was driving, and she would sit in the passenger seat and she'd be looking over, "Willie, you're going over 30 miles an hour." And he would say, "But I'm on the motorway." So despite all of that, I had the utmost respect for my gran, Neely. And Joshua here has sent out the spies into Jericho, and for whatever reason, well, we know what the reason was. It was in God's terms and in God's control. They arrive at the house of Rahab. There is no mistake that they arrive at the house of this prostitute. Somehow the king has got to hear that they are there, and he sends out kind of their version of the Gestapo to find them. They were sent out with the purpose of getting these spies, killing them, and I'm pretty sure killing anybody who was harboring the spies. So whenever they arrive with Rahab, she tells a lie. Like, I know this is one of the questions. Is it ever right to tell a lie? I'm not getting into that whole debate this morning. Some of you will think I'm just a chicken, but I really haven't got time to get into that debate this morning. She does tell a lie. The one thing I want to say here is that it is neither condoned nor condemned within this passage. So she tells a lie. She says, no, they were here, but they've gone. They're somewhere else. But they come on in and they ask questions about this, and she has hidden them in the flax on the roof. And so she risks her own life. She could have given up at that time. She could have said, well, I'd taken them in, but neither yours. I did my bit. But she didn't. She risked her own life. She knew that to be harboring these fugitives would have surely required her life to be taken as well. She protects these spies. She chooses to protect them. She is a strong woman. I wonder how strong we are for our faith. We have had a privilege that Rahab really didn't have. We have the privilege of being able to come to a church every Sunday. We have the privilege of all the organizations in this church. We have the privilege of growing up in a nation that, well, at least once we could have described as being a Christian nation. We have that as a privilege. We know and understand so much about God. But Rahab, not so much. And yet we find her being strong for the Lord in this situation. How much more reason do we have to be strong for the Lord? When people around us are making fun of God, should we not be standing up for God? When people around us are swearing or telling smutty jokes, should we not clearly stand up and say that not only are they offending us, but they're offending our God? Why does she do all of this? Well, surely it is because she has come to trust in God. Now, why do I say that? Well, there's a few things that give it away. First one is in verse 9, we read, and she said to them, I know that the Lord has given this land to you. I know that this has happened. Now, how does she know this? Well, I wonder, has God said this to her? I don't know how he has done it. I don't know how this has taken place. But somehow she knows that this land has been given to them. And this is not only something that has been confirmed within herself, but now she is being used to confirm this to the spies. As the spies go back to Joshua, they will be able to say this story about Rahab and the fact that the land really is being given to them into their hands. And she also admits that the people of Canaan are afraid of the coming Israelites. She says that their hearts are melting. That's interesting she uses that terminology. Because soon after the Israelites had gone through the midst of the Red Sea, Moses led them in a song that anticipated exactly this reaction on the part of the Canaanites. In Exodus 15, verse 15, here's what Moses says. All the inhabitants of Canaan have melted away. Isn't that remarkable? Do you know it's not the only time that we find that happening? Where a phrase that has been used by one of God's children is used by somebody who at least at one time had no interest in anything to do with God. We find it at the cross. As Jesus is dying on the cross, we find the words that are uttered by those who walk by are exactly the same as the very words that we read in Psalm 22. So we see how God is in control. And I'm sure as she used this term about the melting away, that it would have rung an alarm bell in the heads of those spies, would have taken them back to the words of Moses. Verse 11, it says, For the Lord your God, he is God. Now for her to be conversing with these spies was treason. Yet now she realized that there was a higher king to whom she must pay homage. There's a true God. And I wonder today, is that so with you? Maybe you've tried to push the reality of God out of your life for a long time. Maybe you've tried to live whatever way pleases you for a long time, but all you have experienced within your heart is an incredible emptiness and a pointlessness to life. You're not sure where you're going. You don't know what's happening in your life. And it just seems as though it's empty and pointless and hopeless. And I wonder today, have you come to the point where you realize you need to submit to the true and living God? She was a shady lady, she was a strong lady, and she was a saved lady. She was a saved lady. Rahab not only protects the spies whilst they're in her house, but she guides them in where they should hide to be safe. She tells them to go and hide in the hills to the west. Now, the children of Israel are camped to the east, but she tells them to go and hide in to the west of Jericho and to stay there for a number of days so that the group of soldiers, the SS, if you like, who were sent out to try to capture them, have moved on. So she still has a great interest in what happens to them. She makes one request in verse 12. Verse 12, she says, "Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that you will show kindness to my family because I've shown kindness to you. Give me a sure sign." Now this is a covenant. This is a covenant in the form of my life for yours. I have saved your life. Now you save mine. We might use the same sort of terminology whenever we do something for somebody and we say, "Now you owe me." Maybe you've never said that, and that's in your favor if you never have. But maybe even as a child you said that sometime, you know, "Now you owe me. I stuck my neck out for you. I got punished in class instead of you." I don't know if that ever happened to you where the teacher got it wrong. Teachers never get it wrong, but just because there's some here. And the rare occasion when they do, the teacher gets it wrong and punishes you instead of your friend. And you say to your friend, "Now you owe me." Well, it's a similar sort of principle here. What Rahab is saying to them is, "Now you owe me. I have saved your life, so you need to save my life and that of my family." And the spies agree to that in verse 14. And they tell her exactly what she needs to do. Verse 18 says that she needs to tie this scarlet cord into the window through which she has let them down. Scarlet cord will save the inhabitants of that house. In fact, what the spies told Rahab was that unless her family were gathered into that house, there would be no security for them. They would not be saved. But if they're inside the house with the scarlet cord, they will be saved. Does it remind you of something? Do you remember when the angel of death was about to pass over the land of Egypt? They've been told to take the blood of a lamb, and to spread the blood of that lamb on the doorposts of the house. And as long as they were inside the house with the blood over the doorpost, they would be safe whenever the angel of death would pass over. Safe inside the house. We could go back further. We could go back to Noah and the ark, and all of the inhabitants who were inside the ark were safe. But those outside the ark were destroyed. Those outside of the household of Israel in those houses with the blood on the doorposts were killed. Those outside of Rahab's house on that day whenever the children of Israel marched into Jericho were destroyed. And those outside of Christ are just the same. Without the shedding of blood, we are told, there is no remission of sins. Without Christ's blood shed for you and me, and without his blood upon our lives, then we'll be lost. We'll be lost eternally. Now you may live a very full life, a very blessed life. You may even be a blessing to others. But if you don't know Jesus as your Savior, it's a wasted life. Wasted. But it doesn't need to be that way. Rahab's faith made a massive difference in her life. She found strength to stand and strength to live by trusting in the one true and living God. And so, whenever the Israelites came to Jericho, she and her family were spared. And what about you? Are you trusting in God today? Have you given your life to his Son, Jesus Christ? Have you asked him to forgive you for your sins? And do you know that his blood has cleansed you and made you whole? Rahab, yes, she was a shady lady at the start, but she was certainly a strong lady. But most important of all, she was a saved lady. Are you saved today? Do you know that all is well with your soul? If Jesus Christ were to come today, that you would be taken home to be with him. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for this story of Rahab. We thank you, Lord, even for the sight of that scarlet rope that hung from her window. And Lord, we do think of the blood put in the homes of the Israelites and how the angel of death passed over them because they were ready. Because Rahab was ready. So we pray for every person gathered in this place today. May they also know that they are ready. That they have trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior and Lord. That they know that all is well with their souls. For any here today who do not know that, we ask, Heavenly Father, that your Holy Spirit would move and work in their hearts and lives right now. And we remember to bring to you and you alone the honor and the glory and the praise. So, Lord, hear our prayers now and answer them in whatever way you see fit. For we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.